So yeah,
sure.
In the past. And so a process that I found that has really worked well in terms of kind of prepping the panel what I'd love to do is use this time to kind of talk about a few key areas and kind of use this as a way to kind of seed our thinking and the content for what we want to cover in this session. So I've got like a few questions that I'm just going to throw out and we can just kind of talk through them. What I'll do is I'll take notes and then I'll come back to you guys with kind of a rough outline. This is not going to be scripted by any stretch. We don't want that, but kind of coming back with like a rough structure for how I would see the session going with certain things. And I'll probably connect the dots back to examples or thoughts that each of you guys had and maybe say, you know, Lee, I know when we were talking about the session, you really had a great thought on this, and kind of volley it to you to make your point. And so I'll come back with kind of a structure, an outline for the session, get your guys' input on it and ways we can make it better. Obviously we'll loop Scott and Bob in and kind of figure out, you know, what they can speak to. And then we'll kind of have our roadmap for the session. And I'll also have, and would love your guys' input as we go, but just some questions in my back pocket that if we're running ahead of schedule, I can just throw out some questions to the group to kind of facilitate the conversation before we, you know, pause, you know, with 15 minutes left to open it up for questions. And again, we'd have questions available there if we get radio silence from the audience. So I think, you know, having done these before, you know, I just love the chance to just kind of get together and just talk here on this call. And then that kind of starts to show, I think, the direction of where we want to take the panel. So if that sounds good to you guys, we can just kind of jump into it here. So, you know, one of the things I was looking at before this call, and I just thought as a level set, I'm like, oh, I'm going to look at the descriptor of how this session is being billed and kind of what we're asking people to deliver. So if you'll indulge me, I'll just read that real quickly. Ad agencies and ag companies rely on each other to promote and support the greater ag industry on top of their defined collective objectives. But how can they work together in the most effective manner to create the best output? Listen to a panel of agency and client leaders share what each group needs from each other to create a long-lasting, effective partnership. So that's kind of that's how the session is being, you know, kind of built through the NAMA agenda. So maybe a place to start is let's talk about what do you guys, when you think about that agency client relationship and partnership, what are the biggest challenges in making that work that you guys have seen or experienced?
You want to go, Lee, or you want me to?
I'll let you go.
Okay. I think some of the challenges, I would say transparency. And I found this mostly when I was on the agency side, and that is that the client can tend to tell the agency only what they think the agency needs to know to do the job, to make the brochures, to do the stuff. But what you don't understand is that when you include your agency as a true partner, and when you tell them the why behind the decisions, when you tell them what the budget is, when you give an agency that information, what they can do for you is beyond the tactical execution of go make me some brochures or a radio spot. And so it was really frustrating. I remember as a client, you know, I mean, on the agency side, I would say, what is your budget? And I actually had a client tell me once, well, I'm not going to tell you that because then you would spend it. But
where's the trust?
Right. So this idea of, I don't want to tell you 12,000 because you might give it to me for 10. Think of it as, how much value can I get out of $12,000? So starting with how much money you have and being clear about budget, I'd say that's the biggest part of transparency. So budget and why. Tell me why.
That's spot on. And I think it also goes a step beyond that as well, where that transparency. Again, I mentioned that I did a lot of work with Syngenta and that seed treatment group and that kind of entrepreneurship area. And when you can like get embedded into the business, and it might feel like to outsiders that you don't belong in this meeting, but when you can start to hear so-and-so marketing manager debating with so-and-so sales rep of this particular area, why this particular product or what they should be doing here or what they should be thinking about. When you can start to hear that, or you start to hear the business manager talk about the loading programs and all of this other stuff, you start to actually understand the business and then bring in that communications expertise to help them, to help with what that problem is. And I think a lot of times when clients start off with the, here is exactly what I'm looking for, it's like, can we back up and can we say, here's what I'm trying to accomplish?
Yeah.
Because a brochure might be the right answer. I mean, because you have to have that, but maybe there's a way to kind of put together a whole bunch of things for that one budget of the brochure, because you're doing it all together. You can kind of gang it up and you can have some really cool efficiencies and develop a great program.
Yeah, I think this is really great. Really great stuff. And could not agree with both of you more on that. And I think my eyes and my career were really opened when I had the great, great fortune to work for Gary Kreckman.
Bless his heart. And that's a real bless his heart.
Bless his heart. A bless to the moon and back. This was back in the days when I was at Brighton working on the BASF business, and he was running communications. And he absolutely embodied this spirit of the agency as part of the partnership and part of the team. Never once got the hint of feeling excluded or overlooked. I mean, he was just so great about that. And that was really kind of the first time I had really seen that in my career. And it opened my eyes to the possibilities of like, wow, when you take some of the garbage away and take some of the walls down, what can you really open up and accomplish together? And some of the best things that I've done in my career were done working for Gary and his team and my colleagues at the time. And so I totally, totally get that. I think that that's a really great point. In terms of other challenges, are there any other things that really you guys see or wrestle with or kind of, you know, try to manage for as you do your jobs?
It's being able to provide clear direction. When I was at agencies, I would train people on how to write direction documents. And I would talk about the essential message, and it's one sentence and you can't use the word and I would do all of that. And this is what we do from an agency side. Now I send an email and say, this guy needs a mailer, you know the information, can you do that? I mean, that's on me, that's my bad. But at the pace that things are moving, I believe I probably make my agency crazy. We do not give ourselves, I'm not gonna say we don't have the time, we do not give ourselves the time to give good direction. Now, part of it is that I am lucky enough that, like Lee said, my agency is everywhere I am. They're in the meetings, they hear the stuff, they do the, you know, et cetera. And I'm lucky because they are on 98% of the time when I do that, or when we do that. But I think taking the time to give good direction, because what happens when you don't do that is that you end up talking to the senior people on the team and then they have to give it to somebody else. You're not bringing on that next generation of people who are coming up who could maybe have managed the project if you'd taken the time to give better direction.
Well, and Darren, you were talking about Gary Kreckman a few minutes ago, and what you just said there, Lisa, is exactly one of the things that Kreckman did. So when I worked with him at Miller Meester a couple years out of college, if you were in that, I mean, he was, and granted, I didn't have a whole lot of accessibility to him, but anytime I did, he was super kind. He understood exactly what my abilities were and what they weren't. He understood what I needed to succeed, and he worked to build me up. And as a client, to be developing an agency team member, it was pretty special. And so being able to kind of think about how you do that and what the role is of anybody. I mean, I have right now a client who's really junior and she's super wicked smart. And so like, I love working with her. And I recognize that it's my job to start to kind of explain to her some of the philosophy behind the things that we're doing. You know what, this media relations thing is not just about this interview. Here's what else this does. And so starting to kind of open up that aperture, that's my responsibility. And I mean, it's leading from where you are and taking that responsibility to invest in whomever, whenever.
I love that phrase, leading from where you are. Yeah.
And I mean, it's weird for me as an agency to potentially be training somebody on the client side. I would never tell her. Everybody can have a leadership role. I mean, I talk with our juniors. It's like, you can lead. If you see something that's not right and it doesn't feel right, all you have to do is raise your hand and say something. That's leading. That's calling something out. And that goes back to your direct mail example. Hey, I need to have this direct mail piece done. And so a lot of times it might go to a junior person and they might just want to rip it out and get it taken care of, but they have to ask those questions, back to your point about making sure that they understand the assignment and what the real intent is. That was a really circular answer, Darren.
Yeah, no, but I kind of like this thread that we're on here about, you know, more junior team members, and those folks can be on either the agency or the client side. And, you know, it sometimes isn't there part of the challenge in the relationship if there's this discernible gap between like the leadership or the management team that has a certain level of knowledge, and then suddenly you find, wow, the more junior level folks have really been not exposed to that or whatever. What are some other ways that, how important is it that partnership not just be held to like the decision makers on the client side and the leaders on the agency side, but actually somewhat envelops both teams in full? Does that make sense?
It does. And it goes back to trust. So if I don't trust in a relationship with a client, and I can trust in we all have instincts that are pretty much spot on, right? I mean, Lisa, I like you. It feels like we might work well together. Darren, I haven't worked with you that much, but we know each other through different interactions and we can hold a fun, intelligent conversation. But then there's other clients that you might meet or other people that you might meet and you're like, whoa, my guard's got to be up all the time. And I want to be really careful about that. And so I'm going to be very careful about who I expose and how I ask my questions and how I go about finding out the information. And that's, for the most part, I don't see that in the ag space. The ag space seems to be, people gravitate to that who are in it for a team, not in it for themselves.
They are. And when you find that one person who's not like that, it's shocking.
I know.
Because we've all encountered them.
Well, yeah.
And when you find that, you're like, that can't be right.
Or then when you go into an industry that's outside of ag and you're like, whoa, what's going on here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I mean, there's lots of examples of that. I'm sure that we all have them where, I mean, the culture, the organizations are not built up around a common purpose. And it becomes much more, how is it that this person is defending themselves? And the way that a lot of people defend themselves when they're getting attacked is that the fingers start pointing. And then in that situation, there's no way in hell that I'm going to put a junior person on those front lines.
So Lee, from your standpoint, on the agency side, How do you address, or how do you manage if there's somebody on the client side that is, you know, maybe not in the loop, not, you know, that maybe is empowered beyond their abilities to make decisions, or maybe is leading things down a wrong path? How do you, what do you do about that?
You're making me uncomfortable, dear. I'm not quite, help me maintain my relationship.
I'm having flashbacks.
Well, I mean, okay, so
you're are making you hyperventilating?
Because there's some of these real experiences today. And so, I mean, what I try to do there is I figure out how to try to build relationships some way, shape, or form. I'll double down on my efforts, right? It's like Zoom. Can we just catch up via Zoom and have a quick cocktail? Or can we get together pre-COVID for lunch? And I just try to find ways to build relationships, because once you get that, that helps. There's some people though who just that's not the way that they do business.
Yeah.
Well, then you just meet them where they are, and you go at it with the best that you can. And you bring the rest of your team along with what the situation is, and you use it as a learning opportunity.
Yeah.
Lee, without going into any specifics, have you ever had to play the go to someone's boss card?
Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. I have.
How did that go?
And I do that very carefully. Typically, it's in a casual interaction, if I can make it that way. I say, hey, you know what? We've been having some kind of challenges, and it feels like we're just not communicating clearly. Help me understand, like, is there something going on? Is there something that we can be doing differently? I mean, I try to put it onto us as much as possible, because if I can absorb that, then I can figure out what that path forward is. And I think that that's the same. I mean, that can't just be the same for an agency. I mean, that has to be the same for most any relationship. I mean, if you are outside of work, personally invested in trying to make a relationship be a success, but you're just having a problem doing it, sometimes you just gotta ask, what am I doing wrong? What can I be doing differently? Is there something I need to be thinking about or considering? Is there something that I don't know? Because if you start to get those data points, that can help you figure out how to move forward and build that relationship, because there could be something quite simple and quite easy that you just didn't know.
It sounds like, Lee, an approach of asking questions instead of making statements.
Do not throw a grenade.
Lobbing grenade.
Throw a grenade, yeah. You are in the shrapnel.
Yeah. Yeah. So Lisa, from your end, I would imagine it would be easier to have those conversations being the client. Is that a true statement? Is that a fair statement?
No.
No. I would agree with you, Darren.
No. And here's why. Because the agencies that I have worked with are so uber customer focused that if I say something like, you know, Roxy seems a little off. She's been a little, you know, kind of harsh in some of her feedback. I have no idea what that's going to become when it gets to her. I am afraid it's like, oh my God, we're pulling Roxy off the business. She was rude to Lisa. She was, you know, et cetera. And I can't, I mean, I have had times where I've had somebody who I work with who is actually really pissing me off. And I won't say anything because I'm afraid that it's going to get blown out of proportion. And it's one time she pissed me off. We'll move on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so no, it is not easy to have those conversations. No,
that is fascinating, because what you just described is exactly what I would do.
Yep. Yep.
And Lee, in terms of pulling Roxy off the business.
Well, I might not go to it quite that quickly. I mean, I would try to collect as many data points as I could. So help me kind of understand, was Roxy just like facing some serious internal issues, which are real and can happen, that she just couldn't give Lisa any better of an answer, and that just was what was causing her to do whatever? does Roxy treat everybody like this? Is this just maybe Roxy and Lisa just are kind of oil and water, because we've had those situations too. I would try to collect as many of those data points, but you're absolutely right, Lisa. I wouldn't let it sit. I can't afford to let it sit.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. It has to be somebody. And if somebody's doing their job and we just don't get along, then, you know, that's one thing. And we have a conversation. If somebody is incompetent, there is only one time when I have said, I understand that, and it was a creative, and I said, I understand that he is an important part of your team and your business. I don't want him to talk to me again. Mm-hmm. He was so condescending, and I had actually worked with him someplace before, so I think he felt like, and I didn't like him then either. And so that condescension came back through again, and I'm like, I get that he is, you know, and like a week later, he wasn't there anymore. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm a horrible human being. And they're like, no, you weren't the first person to say that. And this was kind of in the works and, you know, whatever. But it was only the one time. And it was, and that's, I can handle all of it except for the condescension and the disrespect in front of a larger team. That trips my trigger hard.
Well, and in my role, what I try to do is the senior leader of a business should be pretty much involved in a good portion of the conversations. And as a leader of that business, an account director or whatever your role is, you should be really super sensitive to that. So like I'm watching a junior send messages to a client. First of all, I've gone through that process of, let me take a look at it first before it goes. I'm like, okay, so here's some things that you want to think about from a tone, because you're telling her that you absolutely have to have this by this date. You know what? We need to have a little flex. There needs to be like a little bit of a make your tone kind of chatty. Don't make it be so whatever. So I'm doing like a lot of these things to try to kind of help with that email, the things that can get misinterpreted with an email. So then this person continues to go ahead and send messages on, and for the most part, they're doing fine. I don't have to kind of jump in, but then I'll see something go and I'll be like, okay, that wasn't too bad, but hang on a second. Hey, so here's something that you might want to think about with this last message. Totally fine. No worries. Just watch it moving forward, because it could have been interpreted this way. And that wasn't what you intended. Just as an outsider looking in, that's something that I saw. Or if I'm on a call and I hear that, there are certain creatives that I would not allow present work to my client. No way in hell. Because I might value the work that they did, but I did not appreciate. Darren, I'm going to get in trouble on this panel.
Just keep all your examples blind and you'll be good.
Yeah, I know. She's going to have like the black face and the voice modulator.
We'll have to get like the voice distorted.
Yeah.
Well, since you all know Kirsten, I often, when I worked with her at Broadhead, I often told her, I'm like, if I ever have like a mom gorilla cage incident, I don't know if you remember when the kid got into the gorilla cage and mom got attacked. I'm like, you are who I'm calling. I need somebody to PR me out of this. So Darren, you might have to PR me out of something, okay?
I got your back, Lee.
Okay, thanks.
this is a great conversation. And I remember in my experience on the client side when I was with Zoetis and the one and only Mike Butler was our account lead at Archer Malmo. There was a young lady on one of the pieces of business who, she was bright and capable, but she just rubbed our marketing team wrong. She just couldn't win. And, you know, and I had a series of conversations, you know, with Mike, and Mike was always, you know, Mike was like, oh, and you know, like, you want me to, you know, pull her off the account? I'm like, no, Mike, I don't. I don't want you to do that.
I want you to coach her.
I want you to be aware. I want you to coach her. I just, you know, but I also want to have an honest conversation about it. And, you know, at some point, this went on long enough that it became clear the marriage couldn't be saved. And so, you know, my last conversation with Mike on it was, you know what, I don't, you know, she's just not a fit for this business. And I think you guys would be good. I think there was actually another person. I said, I think you would be better served to dial this other person up. And, you know, and at some point you just kind of get to there where it's just like, okay, if this person shows back up on a call with, you know, with my internal client as a, you know, one of the marketing managers, the brand managers, then I'm going to have an issue, you know, and have the, how come, you know, conversation about why is this person still here. So it is a back and forth. And, but I think the key thing there is that the lines of communication are open and there's some honesty. And I think to your point, Lisa, you know, clients being overly aware of how their words could be interpreted, and overreacted to by the agency, I think is a pretty good thing to bear in mind.
Yeah. My first thing is usually,
but no, I think this is a great.
Yeah. I usually will go to, you know, their boss and be like, okay, I'm going to have a conversation with you right now and you're not going to take any action from it. Okay. Are we clear on that? And she's like, yeah, I hate when you do this. You're making me nervous. And I'm like, so I said, how is so-and-so doing? Is she okay? And you find out that, you know what, there's a little, you know, this has been happening, that's been happening. I mean, COVID is killing all of us. I cannot imagine having to be a parent during all of this. And so, you know, it's just understanding and being, you know, more, yeah. So it's, I'm with you, Lee. Ask the questions first. Am I not, you know, are we not giving them what they need? Is he okay? It's so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I love to hear that I never really thought about clients actually thinking about, I mean, not to diminish, please don't hear that at all. but putting a lot of consideration into the impact of those words, because I do take action when I hear something like that. And Lisa, I mean, absolutely, you know, and I've done that with department head leads. It's like, okay, I don't need you to do anything about this. Help me understand and just be aware. And maybe this is something that you're already seeing. So I think that that's an amazing approach. And I love that clients take that ownership.
Yeah. And I think there's something to be said. With Lisa, you were on the agency side. I was on the agency side. We've all seen how those things go down when a client, you know, even says something just slightly offhand about an agency, you know, one of the agency team, you know, suddenly they're banished to Siberia or, you know, just, you know, completely overreacted to. So I think that's one of those places where that experience on both sides of the aisle really can kind of come into play. So
I have a quick question. You mentioned COVID, Lisa. We've been talking a lot at our agency because there's certain teams within our agency, a lot of like, I'm going to categorize here, but like a lot of the PR, the media, the creative teams, i.e. not the account service teams, I mean, they have a lot of conversations around COVID, around the race issues that have been coming up across our nation. I mean, that's like a thing that they talk about extensively during a lot of their team meetings. But within the account service team meetings, as much as I try to soften myself and ask some of those questions and check in with people and see how they're doing or check in with people one-on-one, that's not a topic that the account service people really, really gravitate to. Yeah, and my hypothesis is that account service people are wired on to keep moving forward. And so I think, and I mean, we have a mix of people with young kids at home, elders, different health issues. I mean, we have a diverse group of people. And I think that's something that I just am wondering if anybody else, if that resonates. And that's not a topic for our conversation, I know.
Well, I think, and Lisa, I'll let you jump in here in a minute. But I think when Lisa, when you said COVID, my mind immediately went to how are we even changing how we interact with our agencies and our clients in this era of COVID. So I just wanted to throw that in there for you guys about, but Lisa, you were going to make a point.
So Lee, I think your hypothesis is great. I agree. I think that as account people our job is to fix things, to keep it moving and to make it look. And if something goes wrong, you make it look like the fix was what you meant to do all along and it's an improvement, right? It's that's what we do. And so I think that because I was in account service before I came, well, I started on the client, came to the agency, went back to client, the exact same client, as a matter of fact, that's weird. But anyhow, how we do different business different in COVID, we just got done doing our directional plans with our agency. This is an event that normally all of our teams get. It's the one time a year that everybody on all the teams gets together. We meet for really long days. We have snacks all day long. We go out and have really fun dinners. We drink. One day we get a half day and we go do something fun. We've played whirly ball. We've gone out on a boat and we completely connect. This year we did it over 3 4-hour sessions across 3 days over the phone. And it ended today at 1 o'clock. And by noon, I was worn smooth. I could not, and I'm like, oh my God, poor Charlie. Don't tell him, Darren, but poor Charlie. I'm like, I can't even listen to another word. And that, so it's hard. I mean, and we're trying to do things differently and we're trying to, you know, engage. And I have to, we use Microsoft Teams and it's got the hand raise. If any of you use that, you can raise your hand on it. And so we try and do that to keep people from talking over each other. And, but it's hard. It's really tough, but, it's mostly, I mean, the work is still good, but I think that, companion and compatibility is probably, I mean, wasn't there a study that said chemistry was the number one reason that you, chemistry is the number two reason why you choose an agency, but the number one reason why you could lose a relationship, something like that. I should find the study before I start, you know, being a politician and quoting fake studies. But but yeah, so I think that chemistry is important and it's hard to do that in this environment. So.
But I would also say to that, I was listening to, a part of a conversation with 4A's and they were talking about consultancies and like the big McKinsey's and how COVID has been really disastrous for them because they were in the client's office. They were building relationships. They were talking with the client every single day. And now they can't be in the client's office at all. They can't be having that relationship. And now all of a sudden agencies, we're like actually inviting our clients into our home. We're having a lot, our clients are not traveling, we're not traveling. It's a lot, I mean, instead of doing phone calls, we're doing Zooms. And so we're talking with people a little bit more. So there's, I mean, some people say that they've been doing a decent job of building relationships, but those types of thing meetings that you're talking about, Lisa, are awful. We took a planning session that was, I mean, the business was nowhere near as big as what you're talking about. We took a planning session that was supposed to be over 2 days. We condensed it to 2 2-hour sessions. I sent a little since we weren't going to have snacks, I sent like a little meeting kit.
I totally did that when we had to do the initial downloads from the marketing team to the agency. I sent everybody snacks.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
Yes. So sent them all a little treat meeting kit. There also was a little bottle of booze stuck in there. Don't tell FedEx. and then we just, I mean, we scheduled breaks and whatnot and did it as best as we could, but it was hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm incredibly lucky that I call my agency team friends. And I say that with caution because, you know, you don't want to feel like, you know, you're hanging a pork chop around the kid's neck so the dog will play with it. But I genuinely think we have a good relationship and I do consider them friends. And I don't think that has had any sort of a negative impact on the business. And I think coming back around to one of the things that you can talk about in this session is that do not be afraid that if you become friends, that it's going to destroy that structure, that hierarchy that you think you have to have. Because I would walk through fire for someone that I work with that I consider a friend, but I had a client who was just hateful, and I would not go the extra mile for her. I would do what I had to do to keep her happy, and that was it. And
keeping her happy, I'm sure.
Yeah, and there was, you're right, she was never happy, so that solved that. But, you know, and so I think that you always feel like, well, if we become friends, I'm not going to be able to negotiate, and I'm not going to be able to do all these things. And you actually are able to negotiate better because you each have the other person's best interests in mind as well as your own. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think, I'm not saying go out and, you know, go crazy all the time, mm-hmm. but I think there are those people that try and keep that wall up. And I don't think it does you any favors.
You know, we started this conversation talking about transparency and talking about bringing each other along through the whole journey, wherever that might be. And as you're talking about friendship and kind of some of the things that can result in as well that are beneficial for everybody, I mean, it's also the word ownership. And I talk about that a lot. If you look, I mean, the account people that I work with who thrive and who continue to do well, they have an ownership stake in the business. They want the client to succeed. They care about the sales team as much as they care about the marketing team. They understand that organization and they want success for it. And so that they do their damnedest to bring it to the table. And that's one of the things that I'm really passionate about is trying. It's really easy for account teams to have that ownership because it is their throat that's on the, I mean, they're the ones who have to deal with the consequences and all of that. But how do you get ownership throughout the entire agency? And that's one of the things that I'm really purposeful in trying to help other people feel as much of a stake in the business as I do.
Yeah, that's awesome. This is really, really great stuff, guys. The last question that I had, and we can take our last couple minutes to hit on it, but then it's also something maybe you guys can think about. But what are some of the biggest misconceptions, Lisa, about the client side, and Lee about the agency side, that the opposite side may not understand, or may have, I should say.
We take forever and we cost too much.
I always try and tell people, simply put, there's two reasons you hire an agency. You don't have the time or you don't know how. Okay? So you cannot bitch when they cost you money and they do things, because that's why you hire an agency. It's just
fist bump.
So, you know, just boil it straight down. I mean, because I would have people be like, can't you just do that? I'm like, I know how. I'm not going to, because, you know, but no, biggest misconception on the client side. I think it's, I think it's the idea that we are, that the client is disorganized and can't make decisions and is making too many rounds of revisions, and that we aren't paying attention, where what's really happening is that things are changing. And I think that understanding the reason why things change. Now, I've done 18 rounds on a brochure because somebody couldn't read. We've all been there, but I think.
And then had to reprint it?
And then, oh no, she wanted to put a sticker over it. Hand to God. And, this is going to be therapy. I don't think she's in this business anymore. So if I give her examples of her, but I think it's understanding and being patient and tolerant with the change. I can remember, you know, coming over with the creatives and the eye roll again, and okay, we have to make this change or we have to do this. And it's understanding that as a client, these are not all my calls. I am managing 15 different personalities behind me. Mm-hmm. I am managing tech service, regulatory. I'm managing the tech service guy that's a frustrated copywriter. I am, you know, I have marketing. I have legal. I have all of these other things. I have finance who, you know, all of this stuff. And so when we make change and when changes happen, it's not because we're disorganized or not paying attention. It's because circumstances are super fluid on a client side. And we know that it impacts you. But, you know, I think it's just that understanding of, you know, I hate doing those things because I feel like it's like, woman, get your shit together.
Well, and for me, it's about like being able to, I mean, understand that. I've seen that. I've been a part of that. I've watched it. And sometimes there's things that can be controlled, but a good chunk of the time, there's things that can't be. And so then it's going back and just saying, and just, I mean, even before that happens, you know it's going to happen. I mean, Mike Butler would always say to me, like, Lee, I can look into my crystal ball and see what's going to happen here. I mean, you start to predict that. You start to prepare the team for this. And so that's a thing that the account team is supposed to help buffer and help keep people passionate about what they're working on.
Yeah.
That's what happens is that people start to lose interest, and that's my job is to keep people interested.
Yeah, my quick comment here, and I will not say this in the session because there's a good chance the person who said this could be attending the conference. So, but I once had a client tell our team when I was on the agency side, different agency, hand to God, we don't pay you to think.
Oh, I've had that as well.
She said this in a status call when one of our team members had a recommendation and she goes, why would you recommend that? Well, we thought blah, blah, blah. We don't pay you to think.
We have the same client. I've had somebody tell me that too. They do not want to pay us to think. They think.
She was a friend of mine, still is actually. I got back to my office. I called her and I said, au contraire, you absolutely pay us to think.
That's right.
I, you know, it's rare that there wouldn't be very many clients you could have that kind of relationship with to call them back like that. But I'm just like, this can't, but it was just like, she was in a terrible situation and I think under a tremendous amount of pressure. And, you know, I think the other thing, especially in COVID, you know, I'm just trying to channel, give people grace, because I think everybody's got their own weird challenges right now and stresses that, you know, none of us know or can see. And I just think if nothing else, people just really, really deserve the benefit of the doubt, you know, right now. So,
which is what makes the agricultural world so great is that we do know how to give grace.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, if this hour is any indication of how the session's going to go, this is just going to be awesome and fly right by. This has been really, really terrific. I know I want to respect the hour that you guys have allocated this. We're right at the top. Even a couple minutes past. So again, what I'll do, I'll kind of pull this together into a framework. I'll get it sent out to you guys. We can, you know, back and forth. And then what I'm thinking is maybe the week before we might just have, especially if we can get Bob and Scott, just do like a quick 30-minute touch base call, just to make sure we're all kind of good on the details and things like that. And Jenny, I can maybe work with you to get that set up. But otherwise, this has been terrific, and we're going to have so much great stuff to talk about. I'm really excited for the session. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Lee, it was nice meeting you.
Great talking to you guys. Have a good afternoon.
Yeah. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye. Right, see you later. Bye-bye.